turn to that 40th chapter of the book of Genesis. My text is the last verse of Genesis chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. Lovely words that ought to stir our souls, because they obviously have a very clear scriptural, spiritual application to us. In the book of Genesis, the history of some seven major Old Testament characters is set forth. It's a key book in the Bible, laying the very foundation of all that is thereafter revealed to our souls by the Spirit of God. In this book, we have the story of Adam. We are introduced to Enoch. Enoch was a wonderful character. I like Enoch very much. It's true that we're not told a lot about him. It'll only take you a few seconds, really, to read about Enoch. And yet, he was a wonderful character. Why I particularly like him, if I might be permitted just to digress for a minute. I'm sure I've mentioned this in this pulpit before, because there's hardly a pulpit I would enter but I would mention this. In the last but one book of the Bible, there is a mention of Enoch, the book of Jude. And we're told that Enoch was the seventh from Adam, that is, the seventh generation after Adam. Adam was alive in the days of Enoch. You care to get out your calculator and make use of the information that's given to you at the beginning of the book of Genesis regarding the ages of the various characters there, you'll discover that Adam died during the lifetime of Enoch. Well, now, Enoch was the seventh from Adam, we're told, in Jude and the verse 14. And he prophesied. So he was a prophet. And you know what he prophesied about? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jude says. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." That was way back in the days of Adam. They were thinking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, and Enoch was one of the preachers of this glorious subject. Yes, he's one of the great characters presented to us, introduced to us in the book of Genesis. Then, of course, we have Lot, along with his uncle, Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faithful. He was the friend of God. He was the father of the nation of Israel. A very key figure, not just in Israel's history, but in the history of the whole world. We also encounter, of course, Isaac, his son, Jacob. And then one of Jacob's sons, Joseph. Now, of all those characters, more space is allocated in the book of Genesis to Joseph than any other. That might sound strange. I mean, was not Abraham a vitally important individual? Yes, he was. And Adam? Yes. Yes, he was. And yet God has decreed that we are given more information regarding Joseph than any of these great, great men. I think the answer why that is so is very simple. There is more likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ in Joseph than any of the rest. Now, they were great men, and there are great likenesses to Christ in the lives of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, undoubtedly so, and Enoch also. But we can find more instruction about the Lord Jesus Christ in the character of Joseph that is revealed to us in the book of Genesis than any other of the major individuals whose lives are set before us in this book. And it is for this reason that we're going to look tonight at just one little chapter in the story of Joseph, and one particular incident in the story of Joseph that I think will be a benefit to us. My text is, as I said, the last verse of the chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I want to speak tonight about the forgotten friend. And of course I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no friend who is more often forgotten, and forgotten by those who have the least cause to forget him, than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that forgetting of Christ by those who should never forget him is illustrated for us in the story of how the butler forgot the Savior, or forgot Joseph. Let me first of all say that the butler should have remembered Joseph, for he owed him a great debt. Now, I pointed out to you in the story how the butler came into the jail because there had been some displeasure caused by him to Pharaoh. And while he was in the jail, Joseph showed kindness to him. Joseph, we are told, served the butler during his imprisonment. Undoubtedly, the butler was an offender. Verse 1 tells us that the butler and the baker had offended. They sinned against. They upset. They vexed. They annoyed Pharaoh. And they're put in prison. Their offense was such that they were put into prison until Pharaoh decided what he was going to do with them. It was a grievous offense. And even so, Joseph showed kindness to them. When perhaps others were keeping their distance, not wishing in any way to get on the wrong side of Pharaoh by showing any kindness towards these two men, Joseph showed kindness, even though they were condemned. It says in verse 4 of the chapter, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them and he served them. That word served means he waited on them. He waited to do them good. He waited to be helpful. He was like the waiter that comes to your table to take your order, to serve you, to follow out your wishes, to do that which pleases you. That's how it was with Joseph. That was the disposition of Joseph. He served them. He looked after them. Did his best for them. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're under the condemnation of God. You're under the condemnation of God. A lot of people entertain the notion that it hasn't yet been decided what will happen to the sinner. That somehow or other, what will happen to the sinner in eternity has yet to be decided. No, that's not right. That is not right. The Bible says you're condemned already. You're condemned already. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're under condemnation as sinners in our natural state. The judgment has been passed. Oh, that men and women might understand this. It's not as if the matter has yet to be decided and their fate might turn out to be most favorable yet. No, it's not like that. If you're a sinner, you're under condemnation. Judgment has been passed. It's just the sentence that hasn't been carried out. There's many a man, many a woman, appears in court. The case is put against them. The defense has been made. And the decision is come to by the judge. He says, you're guilty. The evidence pronounces you guilty. Now take them away to the cell and next week bring them back again and I'll tell them their sentence. Now do they go back to that cell and for a week do they sit and twiddle their thumbs and say, well, perhaps he let me go. Perhaps all's not lost for me yet. Is that what they think? No, they don't. They know. I'm finished. I've been found guilty. It's just the sentence has to be passed. And that's how it is with sinners. We're condemned already in our natural state. And we're just awaiting a sentence. What it will be like for us in eternity, that has yet to be declared. But where we are in eternity has been decided. If we're sinners, we're lost. If you read in John chapter 3, the last verse of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He's guilty. He's condemned already. That's the state we're in. We're like the two that are waiting. The decision of Pharaoh as to what their fate will be. They've been found guilty. They have offended. And they're in jail waiting their fate. But while they're in that state, they find a friend. Joseph. He ministers to them. Speaks kindly to them. Does what he can for them. Do you know, my dear friend, each one of you who are saved here tonight will have learned very early in your Christian experience that long before you were saved, the kindness of God visited you. That Jesus was your friend even when you didn't know anything about him. I know that to be so. I was saved on the 5th of April 1964. But from the moment I was born, before I was born, the Lord Jesus ministered to me, befriended me, cared for me, guarded me, served me, even though I was a sinner, blind, under condemnation. There was a friend who looked after me and looked out for me. Just like Joseph, in regards to these two characters here. He was solicitous of the well-being of the butler at a time when his soul was troubled. You see what we read about the two men? They dreamed a dream, it says, verse 5. And the next morning, verse 6, Joseph came in unto them, and they looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. There's not one of us, but every day in our daily experience, we see somebody whose countenance indicates their sorrow in their heart and life. But how many do we say anything to? But not this friend. When he saw these two men sorrowful, he said unto them, verse 7, wherefore look ye so sadly today? It shows the kindness of the heart of this young man, for he was only a young man, you know, just reaching maturity. And yet this young man is tender-hearted toward these two characters, about whom I'm sure no one else cared a thing. But Joseph was moved by the sight of their sad countenances, and so he spoke to them. The butler had reason to remember Joseph. He should have remembered him when he thought back of how kindly he looked out for him during his imprisonment. He should have remembered him when he thought of his solicitations and his anxiety for his well-being in the time when his soul was troubled that morning after that terrible dream. That was reason enough for the butler never to have forgotten Joseph. But it says he forgot Joseph. Is there not occasions when we forget the Lord, even though he was ever so kind to us, and our souls were cast down and we were troubled and anxious? Was he not the first to come and console us? Was he not the first to help and reach out his hand and comfort? Oh, truly, what a friend we have in Jesus, and yet how often we have forgotten that friend. How often we have forgotten him. How often we have set aside all thought of him in order to pursue some other line of activity. Forget the Lord. We forget him ever so much, ever so often. You will see the kindness of Joseph toward this butler and this baker in his urging upon them that they confide in him with their troubles. Verse 8. We have dreamed a dream. There is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray. Tell me your trouble. Tell me what it is you've seen. You see, Joseph knew that God had given him a gift of interpreting such things. He could bring this matter to the Lord. And he could help these men. Does this not again remind us of the Lord Jesus? You remember what you read in Matthew chapter 11? And those, I can only call them famous words. Words of invitation at the end of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that not what the Saviour said to us many a time? when we were in trouble. Aye, and maybe we were looking here and looking there for an answer to our trouble. Was it not the soft voice of Christ saying to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Can you not hear that tone in the words of Joseph? Tell me your trouble. Tell me your trouble. Tell me your trouble, I pray you. Oh, the butler had reason to remember Joseph, the kindness he showed to him in that day of trouble, the consolations that he bestowed upon him. Ah, but more than that, he should have remembered Joseph because of the good news that Joseph pronounced regarding him. When he told him the dream, you remember that dream? The squeezing of the grapes into a cup and the giving of the cup unto Pharaoh. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation of it, verse 12. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. You're going to be restored. You're going to be reconciled to Pharaoh. You're going to be given back everything that your offense cost you. Pharaoh's going to look kindly on you once more. There's the seeds of the gospel in there. There's the very message that the Lord Jesus brings to the sinner. The sinner who's condemned on his way to hell because he has offended God with his sins. Jesus comes with the good news. There's reconciliation with God. There's peace with God to be had through the blood of the cross. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the good news of the gospel. And to poor sinners in jail, awaiting destruction, Jesus comes with this glorious message. Oh, how wonderful is that occasion when the news of the gospel broke upon your darkened, troubled, blighted heart. Dear Christian, I remember it. Oh, what burdens were lifted. How can we ever forget the one that brought us such good news? Who was himself the very heart of that good news? Who was himself the means by which there was good news? For it was his blood sacrifice that was the basis of the good news. It was what he did on Calvary that brought about good news for sinners. How can we forget? How could the butler forget the one who told him in the depths of his despair that all was well? He was going to be restored and take up again his position as Pharaoh's butler. But yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He forgot him. How dreadful it is to forget such a friend as Joseph. Joseph told him about the future. It's well with you, he says. It's well with you. That's the sweet news of the gospel for every one who believes in Jesus. It is well. It is well with my soul. I'm going to stand at God's right hand. I'm going to be reconciled eternally to God and stand ever before him joyfully. That's the good news. I have a bright future. That's what it was, in essence, that Joseph told to the butler, and yet the butler forgot him. All that Joseph told the butler was absolutely true. Absolutely true. Look at verse 22. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Everything Joseph said was true. Proved to be true. Every Christian lives from day to day with the constant recognition that everything God said to me is true. It's all come to pass. It's all worked out even as God said it would work out. I was reading just a few days ago from the book of Joshua. And Joshua, coming to the end of his life, says this in the last verse of Joshua chapter 21. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord hath spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. That's what Joshua learned as he comes to the end of his life. Everything that God promised us has come to pass. Nothing has failed. That's how it is with you and with me, Christian. Nothing God has said to us has failed. And throughout eternity, we're going to rejoice in that very thing. We're going to see ever so clearly, more clearly than we can possibly see here during our earthly journey, just how wonderfully Everything God has said has come to pass. So the butler was presented with this fact. Everything that Joseph told him had come to pass. But he still forgot Joseph. He still forgot Joseph. Oh, men and women, what a sin it is to forget the Lord. What a sin it is to forget the Lord. How ungrateful we are when we forget the Lord. This man forgot Joseph when he should have remembered him, for he owed him such a great debt for the kindness shown to him. But there was another reason why he should not have forgotten Joseph. He should not have forgotten Joseph because of the wicked treatment that Joseph had received. Nothing should drive from our minds how unfairly, how wickedly the Lord Jesus Christ has been treated by this world. We have, in this country, become pretty used to campaigns seeking justice as a result of this or that act of injustice that overtook an individual or a group of individuals. Some of us might doubt, really, whether a real injustice was done, but be that as it may, we have all too many memories of the ongoing campaigns to find justice for those who it is believed suffered injustice. And their names have been kept before the public. And what happened to them was kept before the public because of the sense of injustice that surrounds these individuals and their history. But I want to tell you, there's no one suffered injustice like the Lord Jesus. There can never be any excuse for the injustice that he suffered. There can never be any questioning of the injustice that he suffered. We might, as I say, question some of these cases of injustice because we might feel that perhaps the individual concerned justified the course of action that was taken against them, deserved to some measure that which happened to them. But you can never, never say that about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the spotless, sinless, crimeless Lamb of God, and how he suffered injustice at the hands of men. His suffering of injustice is set before us in the story of Joseph, because Joseph was perfectly innocent. Joseph had suffered at the hands of his brethren totally undeservedly. Totally undeservedly. When he was thrown into the pit and then sold off to the Ishmaelites, he had come there at his father's bidding to seek the welfare of his brethren. And yet those men treated him as they did. He was sold into slavery. And even though he served Potiphar well, looked after his household well, and everything prospered in his household under the care of Joseph, yet we know that Potiphar's wife slanderously, wickedly, falsely accused him, and he was thrown into prison. Never was there such an innocent victim among men as Joseph. And he was thereby a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the suffering of Joseph, of this terrible injustice, and it would have been well known within the court of the Pharaoh and the prison. Everybody's case, you know, was known in prison. And Joseph's circumstances would have been known in prison. And the butler would have known of the circumstances of Joseph. But even knowing how he had suffered injustice, he still forgot him. He still forgot him. Joseph was the subject of unwarranted hatred. He was hated by his brethren for no reason at all. He was the subject of unparalleled treachery. He was sold into slavery by his brethren. He was the subject of untruthful accusation. Potiphar's wife was a wicked woman. He was the subject of unjust imprisonment. And all these things can be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the injustice that the Savior suffered should ever keep his name, his person, before us. We should never, never find our heart closing over and ceasing to be moved and melted by what it was our Savior endured. And the butler should never have forgotten Joseph. This poor young man who had been so cruelly and wickedly treated, who had been the cause of his own joy by the news that he gave him through the interpreting of his dream. He should never have forgotten him, but he did. How can we forget the Lord Jesus? And yet we do. Read the book of Jeremiah. Time and again God says to his people, "Ye have forgotten me." You know what's wrong in Ulster? We've forgotten the Lord. Oh, that's true. You know, the Free Presbyterian Church has forgotten the Lord. They have. Oh, he's not completely out of our minds. He's not as if we have completely purged our minds of all thought of God. No, no, no. But we have forgotten mercies that we received from his hands over the years. The kindness that he showed to us and to this country. We've forgotten. We don't care for him as once we did. We're not in love with him as once we were. No, we're not. And we are as without excuse in this matter as was the butler. As was the butler. Let me go on and say that the butler should not have forgotten Joseph, because daily he was surrounded by memories or reminders of the one who had been the messenger of hope. Every time he carried a cup into Pharaoh's presence, he should have remembered Joseph. Every time he looked upon the great king upon his throne and looked at his own garments, resplendent, glorious, saw his surroundings in the court, the standing that he had amongst the others in that court, he should have remembered Joseph. But he didn't. Every day you and I have cause to remember the Lord. Every day. You know, men and women, every time I see a poor old drunkard, I remember the Lord. I remember that there go I, but for the grace of God. Every time, and I can say this honestly, every time weary at night I lie down in my bed and I say what a wonderfully comfortable bed this is, I remember the Lord, because it was him who gave me the comforts of this life. If it wasn't for God, I'd have been in hell long ago. In hell long ago. I honestly can tell you there's 1,000 things that remind me of the Lord every day. The simplest of wee things just remind me. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have this. How good is the Lord? Ah, we have reason every day to remember the Lord, but we still forget him. Just like the butler. Oh, just like the butler. He was lifted up. He was restored. He was serving Pharaoh as before. All of these things should have reminded him of the time in jail and the young one who was so kind to him in jail. But he forgot all about him. Forgot all about him. Finally, I want you just to notice what the butler did when he remembered Joseph. Because we read in chapter 41 that after 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. He had 2 dreams. And he was greatly perplexed by them. And he couldn't get anyone to give him an explanation of them. Verse 8, the last phrase of the verse, "But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." It all came flooding back to him. And he confessed his fault. He testifies to the power of the person known as Joseph. Verse 12. "There was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream. He did interpret, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." He confesses his fault, and then he testifies of the power of Joseph. And it resulted in an exalting of Joseph in the land. You know how the story then goes. Pharaoh sends for Joseph. And Joseph comes before Pharaoh, tells him his dreams, and told him what to do. "Go seek out a man who will look after your affairs and carefully store the harvest of the 7 good years that are coming, so that when the 7 bad years come, you'll have the means of getting through them." And Pharaoh says, "Where are we going to find anyone like that other than you?" And he made him the second in command of the kingdom. He put him in as ruler over all his people. He put the affairs of his nation in his hands. Oh, men and women, that's what happens when you and I don't forget the Lord Jesus and testify to others of what he can do. We'll see folk putting their whole affairs in the hands of Jesus. Would God that Ulster would place her affairs in the hands of Jesus. It'd be in better hands than in the hands of Martin McGuinness, I would think. We went astray there, you know. Oh, we went astray there. We forgot Joseph there. This is what happens when God's people don't forget the Savior, but tell of his wonders. Others trust him. Others make him king of their lives and place their affairs in his hands. God hasten the day when we will see that happening again across Ulster. If you're not saved tonight, that's what you need to do. Put your affairs in the hands of Christ. Let him rule. Let him reign in your life. Bow before him, like the thief on the cross, and say, Lord, Lord. You see, make him your Lord. Things will be well with you. Even as it was well for Pharaoh and his nation, as a result of Joseph being placed in charge, as a result of the butler remembering. Oh, that we might remember and preach up the glories of our Savior. Let's bow together, please, in prayer.